right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stazak with you till 4 o'clock here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Pandemic not stopping us from the show. Rolling right along. Tyler Zuli behind the glass taking your calls. Once again, I'm here till 4 o'clock. 610-632-0975. I believe D-Lineham is in at that time from 4 to 8 o'clock. Okay, got it, Tyler. Appreciate it, pal. And Joe Torti was in before me on a rare Sunday. Good stuff out of Joe Torti. We're obviously focusing on the Eagles, their draft that just unfolded. They received 10 picks, as many as the previous 2 years combined. They also received a wide receiver with a 6th pick from the San Francisco 49ers, Marquise Goodwin. Can run fast, wouldn't expect much else for him. The last healthy year he saw was 2017, but they did add speed. They did add a lot of speed. They also added a quarterback with their 53rd pick, 2nd overall. That's what everyone wants to talk about, Jalen Hurts. What'd you think of the pick? To me, it was an insurance policy. They're obviously deathly afraid of Carson Wentz getting hurt, and there's their heir apparent. There's their answer to Nick Foles. It is Jalen Hurts. They think he can do a lot of things. He can help in the interim with some gadget plays, all right, to a degree that is true. He'll probably be asked to run the football a little bit, maybe even catch a ball here or there, maybe run an option once in a while, take a few snaps. But, again, he's got zero experience as it is now. So he's not a guy coming in who's had experience, who's had success in the league. He's a guy learning on the job as soon as he comes in. So it's not like, you know, they're going to be like, oh, well, they have this unbelievable backup quarterback who can do a lot of things, can sling it, can throw it, can run, scores a lot of touchdowns on the ground. He's got no experience. He's going to be learning like every other rookie quarterback when he comes in. Now, he'll be getting a smattering of experience with some of these plays he's going to be running, but nothing can simulate game action when you are running an offense. Forget about gadget plays when you're running an actual offense. And he won't be able to do that unless Carson Wentz gets hurt, which is unfortunate. So they basically drafted a guy they do not want to see play next year a whole lot of. Dan in Omaha, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Danny?
Hey, big dog. How are you?
How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Good, man. What's going on?
Well, I don't have much more to add than what's already been said about Jalen Hurts. I think most Eagles fans' opinions are right on where, you know, we have nothing against Jalen Hurts, the person or the player, but given the commitment we've made to Carson Wentz and all the other needs this team needs in an incredibly stacked draft, it just makes no sense to draft him at number 53. So, and, you know, even a point that you brought up that people are bringing up this morning, that it's not really that good of an insurance policy. We don't know if he's going to work out. And secondly, as far as the gadget plays, you brought up a good point about, you know, we already have a guy on the team that could help us do that, Greg Ward.
Yeah, he can throw. So, he's a quarterback.
You know, yeah. So it just doesn't make any sense. The one thing I'm kind of encouraged about, and it's more of just a numbers thing. You know, we picked up 4 receivers this weekend. I would have to think at least one of those guys is going to work out, right?
So, you would hope so, man. You would hope so.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I mean, they're all fast, so
they can all run.
Anyway, yeah.
Whether that translates, I mean, we shall see. I mean, there have been other guys who can run fast who just haven't been able to, you know, put it together. And, you know, Jalen Reagor, there's, you know, in terms of his scouting report, you know, not a great 50-50 ball guy, sometimes fails to compete. I mean, there are some negative things written about him, aside from the fact that he can run like the wind when his weight is down and he can make plays. So there's kind of a give and take, a push-pull there with Jalen Reagor. We shall see. But they liked him at that pick, and they said they had their eye on him the whole time, and there you go. He's an Eagle.
Well, I don't know if I believe them there, but I
don't believe a lot of what they tell you.
Well, yeah,
you can't.
But I'm just hoping the odds of at least one of these guys working out for us. Otherwise, you know, you're right. I'd always thought people were too harsh about how poorly we drafted over the last couple of years. And then I was looking at it, and I'm like, man, people are right. We really have not drafted well in the last 10, 11 years.
No, they really haven't. And I appreciate the call, Dan. Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, if you look at scouting report on Jalen Reagor. I mean, every scouting report will give you the positives and the negatives. First of all, he wasn't ready for the combine. He gained some weight, so he ballooned up to 206, and he ran a 4.47. And there's some things said about him that aren't exactly promising, but they're said about everyone. I mean, they're said about everyone, even the very good receivers. There's always some kickback, and he bench pressed 225 17 times. Okay, he's 5'10", not a great 50-50 ball guy. We know that because he doesn't have the size, but he can run. I'm looking for some things that were said about him. I'll find them. I'll find them, and I'll read them, and you're not going to really want to hear all of them, but I will have to be objective and kind of give both sides of the story there to Jalen Reagor. Dave in Limerick, you're on 97.5 The Athletic. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, bud?
Hey, you know, I was questioning on Saturday, you know, what the Eagles were doing. But, I mean, in thinking about it, I mean, all you can do is really, really read about, you know, how everyone else analyzes these picks and then try to decipher that information. Well, what... Jalen Hurts, he played at Alabama and Oklahoma, two huge college football programs, right? And he performed well at both universities. He had a lot of good players out on that field. He's, what, 6'2", 222? Why can't they use him as a running back in the backfield with Wentz under snap and use him more often, not just as a one or two play a game? I mean, if he's the backup and he buys into it, into the system, you have all these speed guys out there. I'm hoping, you know, two of these guys pay off. You got a lot more speed on that offense right now. You still have Goddard and Ertz in the middle. I mean, that just leaves so much more opportunity, not only just as a running back. The guy's ran over 1,000 yards. I mean, this guy isn't just a quarterback, just a running quarterback part of the time. This guy scored 20 touchdowns running the ball, and he's big. I just feel as though it gives so much opportunity for the Eagles to plan, and the league is all about speed right now, and I really commend Howie for going in and looking for speed guys that want to play football. I'm tired of these guys like Aguilar, Jeffrey. I'm a little hurt. I don't want to go out there. I want guys that are committed to the game, that play for the love of the game, not just for their paycheck. And I think Howie did that with this draft, all said and done after the fact.
Well, and I appreciate the phone call, Dave. You know, I don't know if you want to call it his motto, but he basically jotted down three questions after they lost to Seattle in the playoffs, and he went to Doug Peterson and Andy Waddle with him, and basically had three questions he needed answered in terms of his process in selecting players. And one was, can he run? Two is he healthy? Three is, does he love to play football? Those three questions. If the answer is yes, 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 he's got a good shot of making this team, or at least getting drafted by this team. And again, I was going to talk about the weaknesses of a Jalen Reagor. He's obviously shorter than would be ideal for a wide receiver. He's not that big, about 200 playing weight. Needs a lot of coaching on his route running. Can have a bout of the dropsies, not a big catch radius, and not a guy to win a lot of 50-50 balls. Now, having said that, he's got elite speed. He's extremely fast. He's explosive. He can hit the home run. He's got a quick release off the line, a quick first step, explosive out of the break. He's a threat to score every time he touches the football. He can break double teams. He's athletic, and he positions himself well to make catches. He's also dangerous on special teams. So, see, I can just, with the negatives, I can reel off, you know, twice as many positives, and that's why they took the kid. They want a guy who has the ability to score every time he touches the football. Matt in Pottstown, before Les Bowen comes on, let's try to fit you in, brother. What's going on?
Thanks, Joe. Hey, I just want to touch base real quick because I'm banging my head off the wall. I've been trying to avoid sports radio, but I love it, so I had to get back to it, and I knew the type of things that I was going to hear. I can understand a little bit of disappointment or confusion or whatever with the first pick. I'm right there with everybody else. The back end of the draft, I'm kind of pleased with. I really like the linebackers that we got. I think two of those receivers, especially Hightower, can really pan out to help us down the road. The second pick that everyone seems to be focused on, I just don't understand it. These are the people who are losing their minds, are the same people like 100,000 years ago that were afraid of fire and wouldn't use it and wouldn't use the wheel. That's a stupid invention. Bringing in Jalen Hurts makes total sense. Like you said, it's an insurance policy. It's an insurance policy with double pluses. And those being exactly what the last caller said, he's not going to be a gadget guy that only comes in on third down for some fluky nonsense. This is a guy that's going to be fully immersed in the offense that you see like the Saints have been running and so many other teams are running. A guy that is so dynamic that I guarantee you, while Philadelphia fans were losing their minds, defensive coordinators around this league were banging their head on the wall in their Zoom meetings wondering, what are we going to do when you look at that backfield and you got Carson Wentz in shotgun, you got Jalen Hurts set to the offset, and you got Booby Miles sitting back behind him. The linebackers aren't going to know which way to go or what to do. This it can be such a dynamic piece. And again, I'm all in on Carson like the Eagles are. They paid him the money. This is our guy. But the reality is he has gotten hurt. You look at us against the Seahawks, and this is the last thing I want to finish with.
Yeah.
You take out 82-year-old Josh McCown, right, and you put us in that same scenario coming into this year, and instead of Josh McCown, you plug in Jalen Hurts in that situation, and I guarantee you, and this is fully pun intended, we run away with that victory against the Seahawks. That pick by Howie, I think, was just genius. Genius, and I'm not a Howie lover, but I think that puts the Eagles in such a dynamic position with Carson, an injured Carson, whatever you want to call it, that pick puts the Eagles, it just sets us up so well. And no one seems to understand it. And I'm not the smartest guy in the room, so I don't see how I can be the one to see this. But I got to listen to all this Delco accent nonsense wanting to burn the link down because we took Jalen Hurts.
Well, here's the deal. And Matt, I had to let you go. I got Les Bowen on the line. But when you say if Jalen Hurts came in for Josh McCown, you have to remember, he hasn't, as of now, he's a rookie. He hasn't taken a snap. It's not like he's an experienced guy, not even a second or a third year guy who's had a little bit of a taste, who has gotten to dip his foot in the water in the National Football League. You bring him in here in game 17 and he hasn't seen the field outside of a few gadget plays, and now you're asking him to run the offense. Big difference than if you bring in a Case Keenum, who was your backup, or even a Josh McCown, who actually played pretty well, wasn't able to cash, but he was playing with a torn hamstring and played pretty well otherwise. You know, guys with experience. Jalen Hurts, when he gets experience, may be a very explosive and versatile football player, but right now, he doesn't have snap one under his belt in the National Football League. And with that said, we're going to go right now to the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, for my man from the Philadelphia Inquirer. He is the great Les Bowen. Hello, Les. How you doing, pal?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm tremendous, tremendous. The draft is in the books. I thought ESPN did a nice job with the virtual draft. Not too many glitches. It worked out pretty well. We got to see guys in different settings. It was cool. Mm-hmm. It went by, you know, pretty much without a hiccup. The only hiccup being in the second round, the Eagles kind of went off the board and took a head scratcher, in my opinion. I know it's I share that opinion with a lot of other folks. I don't know where you stand on it. Well, I kind of do because I read your article today, but I want you to tell the folks where you stand on picking Jalen Hurts with the 53rd pick in the second round to be Carson Wentz's backup.
Well, we'll have to see how they use him and how it works out. I don't much like the idea. My problem, well, I have two problems. One is it's the 53rd pick in the draft. It's the you had two picks in the top 100, and this was the second one. You could have gotten a long-term starter at corner. You could have gotten an edge rusher. You could have gotten a lot of things, you know, with that pick. And I think people got all happy yesterday because they drafted a bunch of fast wide receivers
right.
in the fifth and sixth round. Well, you know, name a really great Eagles receiver from the fifth and sixth round.
Right.
Or a good Eagles receiver from the fifth or sixth. You know, I mean, maybe this, it was a good wide receiver draft. Maybe one of these guys is going to be a star. You know, maybe they're all going to be useful. I don't know, but that's not the way I would have done it. And my other problem is, I mean, this is a godsend for you guys on talk radio. You know, when you draft a quarterback in the second round, it's not to have him run four or five gadget plays
right.
a game.
Exactly.
And if he does run those four or five gadget plays a game, every time he runs for a first down or throws a nice pass, and Wentz isn't having a great day, the next day is going to be all about, you know, should Jalen Hurts be the quarterback?
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
I just can't imagine. They saw this dynamic with the Nick Foles
thing. Yeah.
And they definitely wanted to be out of it. That's why they let him leave in free agency, you know, without getting anything for him. And now they're inviting this again, maybe not right away. You made a good point to that caller that I don't think Jalen Hurts is anywhere near ready to do anything on an NFL field right now.
Right.
But, you know, in the long run, you're going to have this guy for 4 years under a rookie contract. You know, by year two or three, certainly there's going to be friction. And from Jalen Hurts's end, you know, before the draft, Jalen Hurts is sitting there thinking he's going to be drafted by somebody that needs a quarterback.
He's a quarterback.
He's not thinking he's going to be an apprentice for 4 years
mm-hmm.
and a gadget guy. You know, I mean, he'll spin it. He'll say, you know, especially this first year, oh, it's a great opportunity to learn and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, he's going to want to be a quarterback before too long. The rationale for doing it basically is that Carson's contract is so expensive now that they can't really afford a good veteran backup. Although you just saw Jameis Winston slash his salary tremendously to become the backup in New Orleans. But I guess, you know, Drew Brees is 40 and maybe Jameis Winston thinks he's going to be the Saints quarterback of the future or something. I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
the Eagles' contention is they can't really afford anything like that. This is the cheapest, best option for backing up Wentz. And I just think, okay, that makes sense, but you're ignoring so many other pertinent factors here that could make this really go haywire. And you passed up such an opportunity to make your team better by not using that pick in some other way.
Do you think I think if you take a quarterback that high in the second round and you look at like Kevin Cobb, they took in the second round to be the heir apparent. They took Randall mm-hmm. Cunningham in the second round to be the heir apparent to Jaworski.
Yeah.
They take Jalen Hurts in the second round. When you take a quarterback that high, aren't you expecting him possibly to be the next guy if Carson Wentz can't go past whom, however many years? We don't know because I think they're deathly afraid of his injuries, but do you think that's why they brought him here, to groom him in case Carson Wentz? Do you think there's a real possibility Carson Wentz may not be able to stay here 10, 12 years because of his injury history?
Well, they've certainly invited all that speculation onto themselves by doing this. I mean, I would not have said after last season that that was a concern. He played every snap in the regular season that they wanted him to play. And, you know, the thing that happened in the playoff game, it was awful, but it was a freak thing.
Right.
I mean, lots of guys get concussions, and it wasn't even a real bad concussion as far as we know. I mean, I don't think coming out of last season there was a lot of real serious. I mean, after the 2018 season, I think there was serious concern about whether he could ever be healthy for a full year, but he was. And here you put him kind of right back into the frying pan on that issue. I think, you know, everybody's going to say that that's part of their rationale, whether it is or not. And it might be, you know, they might be. You don't give a guy a $128 million contract, though, and then start thinking about, we should hedge our bet on this.
They're hedging the bet, yeah.
I just don't, you know, it's not anything I would have ever done. I think they think they're real smart for doing it, and we'll see. Maybe they are. I don't know. But it's really kind of cast a pall over my evaluation of their draft.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because I've never been a big fan of Howie and his draft picks, and I've gone over the last 10 years ad nauseum outside of 2015 when Chip mm-hmm. took over. Aside from, well, you can include it in his draft. We took Jalen Reagor with the first pick, and then, of course, all the way down mm-hmm. to Casey Tuhill, and they did pick up Marquise Goodwin from the Niners for a sixth-round pick. How would you evaluate the draft as a whole?
I know it was interesting. I really like Kayvon Wallace. A lot of people do. And there's some other guys in there that are intriguing. The big tackle from Nigeria.
The Prince.
You know, that's an interesting, he was supposed to go pretty high. He had one of the things that we knew going into this draft that was going to be a bit of a mystery was the medical stuff that he had had to have knee surgery, because he showed up at the Senior Bowl with a meniscus tear. And, you know, people weren't sure about that and how they weren't sure about him in general because he hasn't played much football. And, you know, there were people thinking he might be a second round pick. So wow. I think there's a lot of potential there. But I'm leery of these wide receivers that were like the 200th pick and mm-hmm. they're going to be so great because they run a 4.3 40 or something, you know.
Right.
I just don't, that's not generally the way it works in the NFL. It's not a terrible draft. Even the Rieger thing, though. Okay, if you're going to use the 53rd pick on a backup quarterback, why not just trade that 53rd pick and see if Atlanta will let you move in front of Dallas and take CeeDee Lamb?
Take CeeDee Lamb.
Instead of Jalen Reagor. Right. Maybe Jalen Reagor is going to be better than CeeDee Lamb. There's no way to say that he isn't, but that wasn't the evaluation of very many people going into the draft, clearly. I would just rather have CeeDee Lamb, and especially if you're not going to use that 53rd pick on a corner or an edge rusher or, you know, something else you need, another wide receiver. You could add Denzel Mims with the 53rd pick, mm-hmm. you know, who was not a fifth or sixth round pick. You know, I have some issues, Joe. I have some issues.
Yeah, I think we all do. We're with Les Bowen on the Comcast Business Hotline from the Philadelphia Inquirer, kind enough to join us for a few minutes. Now, Les, what do you think of, you know, straight up, I mean, taking Jalen Reagor with the first pick, their first pick. They passed on Justin mm-hmm. Jefferson, who a lot of folks thought he would drop into the Eagles' lap. He went one pick behind in Minnesota. They didn't move up. They didn't foresee, or they didn't want to give up the 53rd pick to move up with Atlanta to take mm-hmm. CeeDee Lamb for that reason, and to take him to cut off any other opportunities for any other club to take him, which Dallas ended up doing. And they take this kid out of TCU, ahead of Ayuk, ahead of Jefferson. What do you think of this first round pick?
You know, I don't have a real problem if you're not going to move up for CeeDee Lamb. I don't have a real problem with choosing Reagor over the other guys. I just don't know enough. You know, I read the same reports everybody else reads. I'm kind of in their camp a little bit there with Jefferson, in that what I read about Jefferson is that he was more of a finished product, more of a sure thing,
mm-hmm.
but maybe didn't have a tremendously high ceiling, you know, and that Reagor is more of a boom or bust type prospect, which I don't really mind that. I don't like the low floor or high floor, low ceiling guys too much. Cause you get fooled. You see them as rookies and you think, oh man, yeah, if he can do this and this, you know, in 2 years he'll be doing X, and then 2 years later he's not doing anything more than he was doing as a rookie. You know, we've been through that with guys like Jordan Matthews, mm-hmm. you know. So I don't have a huge problem with them taking Reagor. I just wish, well, A, I'd rather he'd be CeeDee Lamb. B, I'd rather they had gotten maybe another receiver before the fifth round to go with him, so that we'd have a little better situation, you know, as far as something you can count on going into the season.
Two more shots better than one. All right, real quick, got about 30 seconds. Les, you mentioned CeeDee Lamb. How's he going to look in Dallas Silver?
See, that's the thing. I think the Cowboys had a heck of a draft.
I did too.
And they've actually drafted well for several years now.
Several years.
It's just Jason Garrett was their coach, and they didn't do much with it. And it's a little, if I were an Eagles fan, I'd be a little unsettled over, you know, what's going to happen there with Mike McCarthy, because there's a lot of talent there on that team. Now, they needed to help their defense, and they didn't. And, you know, I think that's an issue for them. But their offensive talent is off the charts. It really is.
It is off the charts, and we shall see. I mean, you have Michael Gallup, you have Amari Cooper, you have Zeke, you have Dak, and they led the league in
offense last year at 431 yards a game already. So, that could come back to bite the Eagles in the rear end. Hey, buddy, we appreciate you coming on for a few minutes. Thanks a ton, and we'll continue to read you and listen to your insights, your thoughts, and your evaluations on this team going forward. Appreciate it, pal.
Thank you, Joe. Take care.
All right, Les. Take care, pal. Les Bowen. From the Philadelphia Inquirer on the Comcast Business Hotline. Got to take another break. Hang in there, folks. We've got a couple open phone lines, although it is filling up. People want to talk about the draft, the overall evaluation of the draft, and, of course, the big story people still want to talk about, Jalen Hurts. So far, most people down on it. One person really loved it, thinks Howie's a genius. What do you think? 610-632-0975. Joe Stasiak coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. A lot of folks jumping on board. I want to talk about the Eagles draft that just was 10 picks, 10 selections, plus a trade they made with San Francisco for Marquise Goodwin. Again, don't expect a ton there. I know folks are talking about all the speed that they've brought on board, and true, their wide receivers that they brought in, including Marquise Goodwin, all have speed. Jalen Reagor and John Hightower out of Boise State, Quez Watkins out of Southern Miss, and who am I missing? Is that about it? Yeah, that's about it. But again, there's a reason that some of these cats were taken in the fifth and sixth round. So don't I'm trying to think of other productive Eagle NFLers who were taken that late and have produced. So let's pull it back in a little bit with this draft, because it is what it is, and you really can't evaluate a draft till 3 years down the road. But if you like what you see so far, give me a call. I think a lot of folks are pleased with it. They took the kid out of Temple in the sixth round, Sean Bradley. Jack Driscoll, highly touted offensive lineman in the fourth round out of Auburn. They took the Prince Tiga Wanago from Auburn, also an offensive tackle. In the sixth round, he dropped. He had that meniscus surgery, had water on the knee at the Senior Bowl. But, I mean, God, I've had three of those surgeries. You're ready to go in about 3 weeks to 4 weeks. And the problem is he didn't play football, didn't start playing football until he was 16 years old. I think that has held some folks back. Otherwise, some folks think that raw talent and ability, he might have been suitable to be a second-round pick. So the Eagles might have gotten some value there. And they also took an edge rusher, Casey Tuhill, out of Stanford in the seventh round. They turned a fourth-round pick into a fifth, two sixes, and a seventh. But again, I mean, yeah, they're flipping one pick for four, and they have one sixth-round pick in 2021. But those are late picks. Those are hard to find guys. If you find something there or get something out of any of those guys, it's a bonus. But I think the consensus from the pundits and some of the outlets given the Eagles about a B-minus. Dallas, I've seen A-pluses. The Giants, I've seen A-pluses. Washington, I've seen B-pluses. So considering the Eagles, I think to a man, I think you could say they had an okay draft. They're probably the lesser of four teams in the NFC East from what I've seen. Again, who knows how to evaluate these things? You don't know until 3 years down the road, 3 or 4 years down the road. But I know what people are saying from evaluating, from what we've seen in college, from the write-ups, from the combines, from the pro days, from the tape. They're giving the Eagles about a B-minus. What would you give them? 610-632-0975. Let's go to Carl in North Philly on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Carl? Carl, you there, bro? Carl. All right, got to go to Chris in Allentown. You're on 97.5. The Fanatic. Carl, call back in.
I'm not Carl, but hey, what's up, guys? How are we doing today?
How you doing, Chris?
Chilling, man. You know what? I give them a D-minus, dude. I'm so disappointed with the waste of the second round pick. We could have turned around and swapped that second round pick and came out with Judy or CD, no problems. If that's what they were going to do with that second round pick, we could have traded up, got one of those two stud wide receivers. And I think it would have changed the draft for me, all the way around. I mean, I was completely disinterested, as soon as we sat at 21. I mean, don't get me wrong though. I think Reager, he's got a great upside to him. I think he looks a lot like a Steve Smith type. And I mean, if you would have gave Steve Smith some serious weapons around him, I mean, don't forget, last year we were picked as a Super Bowl winning football team, and then we compounded injury after injury after injury. So do I think our draft was bad? Yes. But do I think that our team still has a good future ahead of it? Absolutely.
You think the draft was bad for the Eagles?
I thought it was bad. I didn't think that. I don't like much of what they've done.
Who else didn't you like besides Hurts? You didn't like Reager.
I like Reager. I like Reager. I like the offensive tackle, the Prince. I like him, but Marquise Goodwin. I mean, you know, the guy's injured. He's like another DeSean Jackson. What are we going to wait for DeSean Jackson to get hurt, put Goodwin in, and then find somebody to replace Goodwin and he gets hurt?
Yeah.
Or we're just trying to refill practice squad guys? I mean, seriously. I mean, I thought it was a joke. I thought Howie did a horrible job drafting this year. I mean, they look so giddy when they picked Hurts. Like, you get giddy when you pick Judy or CeeDee Lamb or Ruggs. I mean, those are the guys you get giddy for, not for a second round. Look at how many good quarterbacks went in the fourth and the fifth round this year. Look at Dak Prescott a couple years ago. You know what I mean? You wasted a second round pick.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. I'm totally with you on that. I think they burned high draft value for a quarterback who they hope doesn't play.
I mean, we needed safety. We needed a cornerback. We need a tackle. We don't need tackles. I'm sorry. Defensive ends. We need a center. And we come out with a quarterback that we got a franchise quarterback. And I agree. I mean, I know Carson gets hurt a lot, but if Carson didn't have weapons last year, he wouldn't have gotten hurt so many times last year. If they would have had better play calls where Carson's getting the ball out of his hands faster, I mean, we wouldn't have to draft a second round draft pick. And like Wes said, I agree with everything with Wes said. I mean, this guy's going to want to be a starting quarterback. We just put a quarterback controversy right on our lap by our second round pick.
Yeah, Chris, I appreciate the call, man. Yeah, people failed to mention that yesterday. I'm glad Les brought it up. Not only is Carson probably not real thrilled right now because he could have used another weapon, he's probably, you know, talking to Aaron Rodgers and probably commiserating about it. Are you kidding me with what the Packers did as well in the first round? And but at least Aaron Rodgers is 36. Carson Wentz is 27 years old. But you have to look at it from Jalen Hurts' point of view as well. Here's a guy coming out of college with a lot of, he's highly decorated. Won a national championship, was up for a Heisman with a different team, threw for almost 10,000 yards, 80 touchdowns, 20 picks, ran for 43 more, and here he is behind a franchise quarterback. You think he's going to be thrilled to get in 5-6 times a game? You think he's going to be psyched about his position on the team? So you got both quarterbacks now that are probably going to sail and do all the right things and go about their business, but I doubt Carson's happy about it, and I doubt Jalen Hurts is happy about it because he wants to play, and the Eagles, for what it's worth, would rather him not play. They spent such a high pick on a guy they'd rather not see play. And when he does play, if he does play, again, he's got zero experience. So you can't expect him to go in if Carson Wentz gets hurt and light it up right away. You can't expect that out of any rookie. It's not like he's the third or fourth year guy coming here with the accolades and can play when given the opportunity. We don't know if he can play in this league. Let's go to Carl in North Philly on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Carl?
Joe, good morning, sir.
How you doing, bud?
Good, bro. Sorry, I was pumping gas. Hey, I just want everybody to relax, because if you look at it from every angle, I don't care if you're a football player, a fan, or even a football coach, you have to give Howie credit where credit is due. This man is a genius, man.
He's a genius? What did he do that was so genius?
It starts back from the contracts. He gave Wentz and Ertz the big contract, right?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Knowing that we had Goddard right behind him, another tight end. So he's insurance. Everything is insurance. Everything is insurance. He's covering every aspect. He's taking care of every aspect. People worry about the draft. Why would Howie, right now, having the best chemistry, we're not talking about on paper like the Dallas Cowboys. We have the best chemistry in the NFC. We're the last NFC team to win the Super Bowl. People forget that. We're the last NFC team to win the Super Bowl.
It was only 3 years ago.
Right. Only 3 years ago, right? And AFC been taking care of business. Nobody in the NFC brought a home since us. My point being this, Joe. When you look at the draft, this is college football. This is 2020. This is not the 70s, 80s, and 90s, brother. The talent is equal all the way around the board. Every week we watch an upset on Saturday. Do we or do we not, Joe?
Sure, of course.
Okay. So when we picking talent, and it's time to put these guys in a professional platform, it's about chemistry. We have Carson Wentz as our quarterback. We can't bring in these big head honcho alpha males that you guys want. We can't do it. Because it's already we're getting rid of these guys.
What alpha male are you talking about?
We're talking about Lamb, Jefferson. These guys are big alpha males. They're top dogs.
Yeah, but they're at a different position. They're not, and I appreciate the call, Carl. That's okay. You can have more than one alpha dog in the locker room. That's okay. It's not like people criticized me for my article about them being remiss by not going after Colin Kaepernick as a backup last year. But the opposite argument is, well, he's an alpha dog. He wants to be an alpha dog. You can't have two alpha dogs in the locker room, especially when you're dealing with Carson Wentz. Like, Nick Foles wasn't exactly an alpha dog. You can't have them at the same position necessarily, but it's okay to have an alpha dog. A couple alpha dogs on defense. Couple alpha dogs on offense. You don't know if CeeDee Lamb's an alpha dog. I don't know that to be, I don't know if he's a Michael Irvin or a type like that. Maybe.
Let me ask you this. Trott and Dawkins not both alpha dogs at the same time?
Sure they were.
You know why? Because they played different positions. All that matters.
Right. It doesn't matter. You can have multiple alpha dogs. You're not playing the same position. You're not fighting for the same spot.
I don't even think, quite honestly, I don't even think that when the Patriots had Garoppolo, they had two alpha dogs in that quarterback
room. They didn't.
Because I don't think Garoppolo's an alpha dog.
He wasn't.
Brady is, for sure.
Brady is, but Garoppolo hadn't done anything to earn himself alpha dog status at that point. He hadn't. We got to take a break. I'm going to be back talking with Tyler. I want some more of his opinions on the other side. 610-632-0975. Hang in there, Brian Noah, Josh Cam. We'll get you on the other side. A couple open phone lines right now. I'm Joe Stazak, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Joe Stazak in the house. This weekend's programming is brought to you by the Bush Auto Group. The Bush Auto Group is now open for online auto sales. Check out their easy buy program at bushautogroup.com. Tyler, tell us about that tweet you just saw.
Yes, I saw a tweet, and it was a picture, and it said the Philadelphia Eagles playbook this year. It was one play. There's just the four verticals down the field because they are going to be fast.
And I'll go. I'll go.
I don't know if they can play, but they're going to be fast. That's for sure.
They are
going
to be fast, whether they can play or not. What did you think of the draft overall, Bob?
Overall, I actually thought it was pretty good. I thought that they addressed a couple of spots that they really needed to. The Jalen Hurts pick is still questioning and confusing to me to the point where it really hurt, I think, a lot of people's psyche. I think that's a really valid point to say that it was almost like a bummer for the rest of the weekend. But I thought that they made a couple of really good selections. I thought Kevon Wallace, he's going to be a player in this league. And I thought that that was a steal in the fourth round. I also like Sean Bradley a lot, too. I think that you're going to get a lot of really good production out of him, especially from the sixth round. And I think Driscoll might be a decent... I think they're going to kick him into guard, but I think he might be a decent pick as well.
Yeah, apparently he's an inside guy. You think Andre Dillard's going to be able to hold up his end of the bargain this year?
I don't know. I think we're certainly going to find out because they drafted two offensive linemen, and I know, like we just said, that Driscoll might be a guard or an interior guy, but they draft two offensive linemen, especially one that is supposed to have the talent to be a second or third round pick. We're certainly going to find out. And I don't know if I'm ready to totally shut the door either on the Jason Peters coming back thing.
No one's picked him up.
I think there's certainly some validity to that point.
I can see that. You think he's got a year left in him?
No. No, but that doesn't mean that I don't think that he won't be here.
What do you think he could be of any service?
Probably. I mean, I don't think that he can be a hindrance other than the stupid penalties, cause, you know, him trying to jump back a little bit too quickly. But if they bring Jason Peters back, Andre Dillard is done. In this city. Done. He has to be. Because that means they have no faith in the first round pick they made.
That means they have exactly zero faith in Andre Dillard. If he can't beat out Jason Peters at this point in his career, when he's, you know, what is he, 38 years old, hobbling around, 38 years old, no one else is picking him up. No one else signed him.
Yeah, and he put out that workout video. Is that supposed to, like, thrill us or something? Like, it was an old guy doing old guy stuff. He's not old. He's only 38, but he's old for football.
Old for football?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
You know, he was doing kickbacks and things like that. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, oh, in the best shape of my life. He might be. It might be true.
So he wasn't doing, like, cleaning jerks with, like, 330 pounds
no,
or anything like
no,
that?
No, no, no. It was footwork and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, not thrilling stuff.
Interesting stuff. 610-632-0975. Josh in Jersey apparently is high on Hurts. What's up, Josh?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, bud?
Good. Two points to make. Number one, I don't know, everyone's saying with our wide receivers, we should take another wide receiver. So, first thing is that every year we're saying this, we need more talent. And the years our quarterbacks do good, we made it to the Super Bowl. Everyone always says we need more receivers. We got Marquise Goodwin, we got Jalen Reagor, hopefully the team thinks will work out. But then we have Jalen Hurts. So, we have Carson Wentz. How many guys are betting Carson Wentz playing the whole season? But Jalen Hurts. So the guy is some scouts are saying he's Russell Wilson and he's a Heisman runner up. So how bad could it be to have this Heisman runner up who people say is one of the hardest work ethics they've ever seen, where you see in the guy's face that he's going to be a good player as our backup and Wentz is going to play more than 12 games.
Oh, Wentz played 16 and basically started 17 and had a freak accident. Why do you think he'd play 12?
Because I'm saying the way it always works out with Wentz, we'll see. It's gonna. I think it's gonna happen again with Wentz. Last year was a freak with his ACLs, his back. I'm saying he's not injury prone, but it's a good chance we'll see Jalen Hurts taking the field.
Okay, and why do you think Jalen Hurts can play at this level? He hasn't taken a snap yet.
Because on some scouts list, he's very hot. He's a very highly acclaimed player.
He is, but he hasn't played in the league yet.
He won a lot.
There's a lot of highly acclaimed players. You still have to get NFL experience. He has zero. So when he steps on the field, he might have all the accolades. You know, you can pile on him behind him, but he still hasn't played yet. He's still a rookie.
Yeah, I hear that. You know, I hear that. But I think that can make up for the fact that we took him in the second round. You don't think so?
I don't know. And
you don't think it's worth taking that bet on that quarterback? He's highly acclaimed, but we would have taken another receiver. We'd have three. We have Marquise Goodwin, Jalen Reagor. And now this guy would take us. I think Jalen Hurts is a bigger chance of this guy helping the team out a lot more.
So then you're basically saying Carson Wentz, you're almost counting on him going down.
I'm counting on there's a big enough chance of him going down that it was a worth second round pick.
That's what exactly they're thinking. I appreciate it, Josh. I mean, that's what they're thinking. That's what the Eagles are thinking. There's that good of a chance that their starting quarterback goes down, which is deflating. It's deflating if you think that. Because I'm going into next year thinking my guy's going to be healthy for the full year. He played for the second of 4 years. He played every regular season game. He got hit with a freak injury. I'm going to play that side now. Because yesterday, I'm like, let's lay out the facts. He's missed 3 out of 4 years. But he has played 2 full regular seasons, and he had a freak injury last year. I'm counting on him playing a full season. I'm leaning that way, as opposed to leaning towards him being hurt again. But the Eagles are, listen, they're hedging their bet. They're hedging their bet, and that's a lot to put into a hedge. A second-round pick at 53 to back up Carson Wentz if he goes down. Forget about gadgets. It's not what this is about. It's not about trying to beat the Saints. Because, again, they could throw the ball. They could have thrown the ball with Greg Ward, quarterback at Houston. It's an insurance policy. They obviously are down on Carson Wentz in terms of the outlook for Carson Wentz. They're basically signing an insurance policy to possibly be their heir apparent to Carson Wentz. You don't take a quarterback that high if you don't think he can be your next quarterback if your current quarterback cannot go. So you know what's in the back of their heads, and that doesn't make me feel all good and warm and fuzzy if they're thinking that. I mean, I've been as negative as possible on his injury history and the fact that he hasn't finished the last 3 seasons, and I'm still somewhat optimistic that he's going to play a full year next year. I'm buying into the fact that it was a freak accident, which it was, not the fact that he's missed the last 3 seasons. But they're not. They're done with it. They're finished with it. And because they gave him all that money, Les was saying that they couldn't afford to bring him back up in, even if it was a Case Keenum for 3 years, $18 million, which is what Cleveland gave him. That would be $6 million a year. I guess they can't afford that. So you really can't afford a backup with what you paid your starter, so you have to do it through the draft because he's going to be on a rookie contract. My thing is, could they not have waited until the fourth or fifth round? They must obviously like this guy and like him twofold, to be an insurance policy and also to be the possible heir apparent to Carson Wentz should he not be able to fulfill his duties and play for the next 10 to 12 years, which is scary. I've always assumed he's going to be here for the next 10, 12 years. But I'm always the one that says he can never finish up a season either. So they're obviously thinking that. I know they were frustrated, even though last year was a freak injury. I know the organization, from what I was told, is getting frustrated with the fact he's not able to finish seasons. I'm not saying they're looking to get rid of him anytime soon. They just paid him all that money. They didn't have to pay him that money. They could have waited another year to see. They didn't have to pay him all that money. Remember, they paid him early to save a little bit on the back end, which they probably did. So we shall see. Got to take another break. I'm Joe Stajak. Lines are filling up. Couple open phone lines right now, 610-632-0975. Again, Joe Stajak, it's 2 o'clock. I'm here to 4 o'clock on 97.5 Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.